You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell introduced new legislation to raise the legal age to buy tobacco products from 18 to 21. We'll learn more about the proposal and the reaction from public health experts. Now, school funding is one of the most high-profile issues in any state budget, but with Democrat and former state education superintendent Tony Evers now in the governor's office, Republicans and Democrats may need to work a bit harder to find compromises on education. In his budget address earlier this year, Governor Evers called for a boost in special education funding, limits to the voucher program, and a return to higher levels of state support for school districts around the state.
I've said all along that what's best for our kids is best for our state. Investing our kids will yield dividends for our future. So we're going to start with K through 12 education, providing historic investments and returning to two-thirds funding at the state level.
We're joined now by two members of the State Assembly's Committee on Education. Dave Considine is a Democrat representing the 81st Assembly District, which includes Baraboo. Representative Considine, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
And Romaine Quinn is a Republican representing the 75th Assembly District, including Barron County. Representative Quinn, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you.
Well, Representative Considine, let's start with you. I think it's not controversial to say the way our schools are funded in Wisconsin is complicated. You've said in the past that we should revisit the school funding formula, I think, that we use in the state. Where do you think it isn't working?
It doesn't appropriately balance the needs of students from urban and rural areas with those in suburban areas because of some of the very complex issues. Issues that came up because they were trying to balance funding for students across the state. And now, 30 years later, that's hurting those same students as we get sparser school districts that are not growing. That was a growth time in our economy and communities. We're all growing.
And Representative Quinn, do you think it's time to open up the hood and start tinkering with the school funding formula?
Well, we have been, right? I mean, we had the Blue Ribbon Commission, which was a bipartisan commission, made up of advocates from all over the place and all over the state. And we traveled the state talking to school staff, teachers, students, you name it. And we came up with a number of recommendations because I think it's pretty apparent to the public as well that what we have now could definitely use some improvement.
And Representative Considine, last year, then Governor Walker signed a bill that let smaller, lower spending school districts raise their property tax revenue. It made it a little easier for them to do that. It got some bipartisan support. Is that something you think will be helpful to schools in your district?
Yeah, that's somewhat helpful, but we need to do a lot more. Education funding is way behind, and especially for our rural school districts. We're just not the disparity between what some suburban school districts have and what is spent on their students and with what is spent in urban areas like Milwaukee and then rural areas. Very similar in a lot of ways and not funded appropriately.
And Representative Quinn, you mentioned that Blue Ribbon Commission you were a part of. What were some of the recommendations there that you're hoping that in this session, in this budget, you can take and run with?
Oh, how much time do you have? There's a number of issues that even some small tweaks could be a big deal, even going forward. You know, sometimes it's not just funding, but that's obviously a big component. You know, everything from, you know, bilingual aid. You know, I have the Barron School District, who has a very high population of Somali students, and it's getting better now in terms of their English. But when they first came here, that's a real struggle. You know, how do you find funding for special interpreters to help these children who never really had a school setting? You know, I heard from Abbotsford, same thing, half their school is of Hispanic descent, and it's very hard to find interpreters or take that out of your general fund. Declining enrollment. Representative Considine mentioned rural areas. You know, it worked good when we were growing and everyone had 10 farm kids, but those numbers are gone now. And when your funding's built off your per student enrollment, that's a big problem. So, you know, Representative Markline or Senator Markline and I have the bill for declining enrollment. We're hoping that can be wrapped into the budget too. So lots of different ideas and different approaches to try and, like you said, at the end of the day, address some of the disparities that exist across the state.
We're talking about Wisconsin's education budget, a big ticket item in the state budget negotiations this year. Two state lawmakers are with us, Assembly Representatives Romaine Quinn, a Republican, Dave Considine, a Democrat. Let's talk about special education. This is something that Governor Evers had talked about, as we heard in his budget address this year. A lot of schools saying, hey, we're falling behind on state support for special ed. It's creating a crunch in schools. Representative Quinn, let's start with you on this one. What do you see out there that could help schools when it comes to special education funding?
Yeah, and that was a topic that came up. It was an issue that we heard about as we traveled the state on the Blue Ribbon Commission, and that's why one of the recommendations, there was really no set number that we could all decide on, so we said, heck, we'll just pass everything in the legislature, and they decide at some point. So I don't think there's any controversy right now in giving a bump to special education. I think $600 million just in the special ed piece and not in the other pieces is a lot, because, I mean, frankly, I'll be honest, the $1.3 billion overall is just more than we can chew right now. And obviously there's disagreement on that. We'll have that debate. But I don't think special ed funding itself, since most of the time it's just a reimbursement of actual cost, is very controversial. So you're not worried about how do we tie funding to outcomes, because these are real costs incurred by school districts that we just didn't need to do a better job reimbursing. And Representative Constantine would know more than this, being in that field in his previous life.
Right. You're a former teacher yourself, Representative Constantine. What do you see when it comes to schools' needs for special education funding?
Yeah, I was actually formerly a special educator for 30 years. And special education has been mandated for all of our school districts without being funded for years. And that goes back over 10 years. We've mandated things and not funded them. And the only way to fund them was through local property taxes. And I'm excited that with the governor's budget, the Legislative Fiscal Bureau says that we'll actually have lower property taxes than we had in the last budget and still get that $600 million. And it's because that money is really already being paid by local property taxpayers. That's coming out of the local school budget. It's a matter of the state needs to pay for special education funding, not the local school district. And I think that will also help balance the urban and rural with suburban as we balance that funding out over across all of them, and the state funds that. And so I think we can do that without raising property taxes. The Legislative Fiscal Bureau says that they will be less than they were in the last biennium.
And Representative Constantine, we heard Representative Quinn mention the overall price tag for Governor Evers' budget when it comes to schools. A big jump. Some Republicans in particular saying, we all agree on some of the priorities here. The price tag is too high. We can't afford it. What do you see when you look at the overall increase in the governor's budget?
Budgets are about priorities, and that has been my shtick for the last 4 years. And I think we can have different priorities than Governor Evers in his budget proposed those different priorities. I'm not sure what my colleagues are going to do in the Joint Finance Committee and what's going to come out of Joint Finance. They're building from base, which they did under the last biennium with Governor Walker's budget. I'm hoping they consider a lot of the things in Governor Evers' budget as they propose their own budget, and then we get to work on it. But certainly, I think we can make it work. Governor Evers' budget is balanced, and it makes it work.
Representative Quinn, do you think it can work?
No, because I guess I don't know where the balance piece comes from, because the last numbers I've seen from Fiscal Bureau put us about $800 million upside down heading into the next biennium. So I think we can invest in schools. I want to invest in broadband. I want to do lots of different things, raise personal care worker wages, all that stuff. But it's all about balance and finding that sweet spot and figuring out what the state can afford. And that's the challenge that we have in front of us.
That said, Representative Quinn, do you see this as a thing that's going to be kind of a fighting tooth and nail scenario, or is there enough room for agreement that you see, hey, there's going to be some bipartisan agreement on education?
Well, I think there'll be bipartisanship on the education piece. We'll have to see on the overall budget. I mean, even if Governor Evers was honestly realistic that he could think he could get everything that he asked for in the budget, then I don't know if he's going to like what comes out, because there is just so much spending. I don't see it as sustainable. But on the individual issues, I think there actually is a lot of commonalities, especially on education, considering we had that bipartisan committee and Representative Kitchens and Senator Olson and myself and others have been trying to preach to our caucuses on these issues. Because remember, all schools are different. So there are schools in the state that are fine and do not need more money. And there are schools in the state that spend thousands less per student. And we're asking them all to compete and perform on the same playing field. Well, that's not okay. So again, now we go back and sit down and what's the best way to to address the challenges that our schools face going forward, not just the next 2 years, but fundamentally make some of those structural changes long into the future.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our conversation now with Democratic Assembly Representative Dave Considine from the 81st Assembly District, which includes Baraboo, and Republican Romaine Quinn from the 75th Assembly District in northwestern Wisconsin. We're talking about education, funding, and policy in the state. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think the state's priorities should be in this upcoming budget when it comes to schools? How should we deal with things like teacher retention and achievement gaps and gaps in per-student funding between different parts of the state? If you are working in education, what do you see around you? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Cindy is with us in Appleton. Cindy, hi.
Hello. Well, first of all, they need to restore the salaries that they took away from the teachers in Act 10. We've lost so many good teachers to early retirement, and we can't find teachers to come in to replace them. So teachers are a priority, and the Republicans don't value educators, and I wish you would learn to do that again, because that is what's teaching our future. Education has to be taught by people that know what they're doing. So I would like teachers to have their monetary value restored.
Cindy, thanks for the call. Representative Quinn, what do you say?
Well, I just don't think that's true that Republicans don't care about teachers. I mean, we're married to teachers. Our kids go to schools. I mean, we all want to see students succeed. So having a policy difference is different than saying you don't care about teachers. But, yeah, I absolutely agree. Schools, especially rural ones and different ones with different issues, need the funding to be able to attract teachers like other schools do. So if I have a school, even in my own district, there's big disparities. If I have a school that spends $11,500 per student, another one that spends $9,300 per student, how is that low-spending school ever going to compete to try and pay a competitive wage for a teacher? So, absolutely, teachers do a marvelous job. I could not be a teacher. Bless them all. And they deserve a fair wage for the work they do. But going into the whole Act 10 conversation, that's a topic for another day as well.
Representative Considine, what do you hear from your former colleagues? Do you see them wanting to get out of the business?
I see so much changeover in teaching. New teachers that are excited about coming into teaching and then 4 or 5 years later are moving out of the community. And Representative Quinn mentioned that they're moving to a higher paying district. That's the way they can get a raise nowadays, actually. I think the real problem, more than teacher pay, although I think we can address that somewhat, and I think school districts will, if we start appropriately funding schools, that will happen because school districts want to compensate their teachers. They're just not able to do it right now. I think the other problem is just the whole respect thing. The teachers don't feel respected. The caller alluded to that. And we have to restore respect for professionals in our state. I don't care whether it's corrections officers, teachers. They feel disrespected and not heard. And I think Governor Evers' budget, just because of the tone it sets, will help that kind of thing happen so teachers can feel like we really do respect them and what they do.
Thanks for that call, Cindy. Let's bring on Donna in New Berlin now. Donna, hello.
Hi. I'm a teacher at a middle school and high school in New Berlin, and one of the things I see that we are lacking is help with mental health issues. We have so many teenagers that are struggling with depression, anxiety. This affects them academically, it affects them socially, and we need help in order to help these students.
Donna, thanks a lot for the call. Representative Considine, let's start with you. Do we have sufficient resources in schools when it comes to what Donna's talking about, mental health concerns for students?
No, we don't. We have professionals who are trained to do that, but sadly, because of some of it goes back to financing again. Those teachers are doing scheduling and all sorts of other things, and they're trained to do counseling, and they're not in that field. They're doing other things. I especially think we need to get things at a lower level, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, first, second, third grade. We need to help with the mental health problems much earlier than Donna even suggests. And the budget starts looking at that and getting mental health into the schools. We've done a few things as a legislature and allowed private mental health places to come in. But the problem is there's not enough mental health providers in the whole state or in the nation.
Representative Quinn, do you see a need for this to be tackled in the budget in particular?
Well, and that's an issue as well as a recommendation of the Blue Ribbon Commission, too. So, I mean, how do you grade a teacher based on the improvement of a student when the student is struggling so mightily with issues, whether it comes from trauma or you name it, and not being able to have access to someone that can deal with that? So a big piece of it is providers. It's very tough, especially in northern and rural Wisconsin. Not many people are moving there. So we look at different programs all the time, student loan forgiveness. How do we incentivize more practitioners? You know, Mayo up in our neck of the woods is starting to allow for more psychiatrist training. And then, of course, even expanding a child psychiatry program to allow regular practitioners to call in and consult with psychiatrists to at least somewhat try to treat these kids when there is no one nearby. So it's definitely a need, but the big question is, how do you fund it? So do you do a categorical aid, another categorical aid specifically for mental health? Do you just give the school general aids and let them to determine, even though you were hoping it would go to mental health? So there's a lot of questions on not only just the funding piece, but how do you fund mental health and whose role is that and how do we get there?
Thanks for that call. We are talking about the state's education budget. Representative Dave Considine is here with us, a Democrat from the Baraboo area, Romaine Quinn, Republican representing Barron County. They're both members of the state assembly, and they're both on a key education committee there. Before we go back to our callers, I want to get into the school's voucher program. Representative Quinn, in his budget proposal, Governor Evers wants to freeze enrollment in the state's voucher programs. This has been a contentious issue. What are you looking at when it comes to the state's voucher system?
Yeah, I've always been a proponent of school choice. I mean, I was fortunate enough that my mom volunteered enough hours and worked enough jobs to allow us to get a K through 8 Catholic education, even though there was nothing wrong with my local public school. It was a decision our family made. But back in that day, she would not have qualified. She didn't make enough money. You know, we lived in our grandparents' home, but she made it work. And most people say that, yeah, you should pay for it on your own. But it's easy to say that when you have money. So I've always believed in choice. Obviously, yes, we need accountability, but I trust parents to make the right decision on where their child should go to school, even if they don't have the money to do so.
And Representative Considine, school vouchers.
We're back to priorities in the budget. We can't afford two parallel school systems. That's just not a possibility. I know I have a private voucher school in my district. They do a great job. They expanded their enrollment 100% last year. Mostly with students who were already going there, who were paying $4,000, give or take, in tuition. And the state gives them close to $7,000, and the school can't even use that because we prevent them from using it. It's just sitting there in an account. That's not a good expenditure of funds. I think parents should be able to make that choice. But especially if it's based on religious reasons, which Representative Quinn mentioned, I'm not sure that public schools or schools, public money, should be used to educate our children with religious education.
Representative Quinn, what do you think about that?
Yeah, and I think that is the one legitimate point people can have a discussion around in school choice. I think a lot of the other arguments fall flat, but I do openly admit that that is a actual philosophical debate we should have. Should public dollars ever flow to a private institution like that? But, you know, the Supreme Court has ruled on more than one occasion that it is acceptable.
Since you're both representing in part rural districts, I wanted to get into an issue we've touched on a little bit, trying to level the playing field for those schools in rural areas with declining enrollment to still compete for teachers. There was talk, Representative Quinn, not that long ago about sparsity aid. I think that ended up going through. What kind of aid is there from the state to help recruit teachers to those districts that maybe can't afford to pay as much, and do we need more of that?
Well, my first session, we took a bill that allowed for loan forgiveness just in the Milwaukee School District, and we opened it up to allow for teachers to apply in rural areas as well. You know, it's always hard to target monies and programs because you have haves and have-nots, and how do you convince other representatives to care about areas that they don't represent? So that's always the challenge for Representative Considine and others like myself in rural areas to make that case. But again, you know, rural schools are different. You know, the sparsity aid comes in, the high cost transportation. You know, we may spend the same amount or get the same aid, but if I spend $1,500 just to get the kid to the door and you only spend $500 to get the kid to the door, think of the educational disparities that exist just in transportation. So, but again, there's also issues in urban schools and issues in suburban schools. So it's, again, finding that balance, what is the right solution, having these conversations, and we've been having them. So I think there's going to be a lot of good that comes out of this budget for that.
And Representative Considine, if you could wrap it up for us by some of the issues you see along those lines with rural schools.
I think the first thing, and I mentioned it in the first phone call, we really need to increase respect for the people in the education community. I think that'll help rural, urban, and suburban schools. But one of the ways we do that is by sufficient pay. The competitive nature that we have in teachers right now is really killing rural school districts. I know of one rural school district, a very small district, the industrial council teacher there, arts teacher, makes $45,000 a year in total compensation. He had a first year student teacher taught with him, 6 months of experience in the classroom with him, or 4 months, as the case may be. And Waukesha Public Schools could afford to pay him a starting salary of $70,000, including benefits. That's killing rural schools. We have to find a balance. There's no way there should be that discrepancy in funding.
We'll leave it there for now. Representative Considine, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. And My pleasure.
Representative Quinn, thanks for joining us on the show again.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've been talking to Republican Romaine Quinn and Democrat Dave Considine. They're both assembly representatives. We've been looking at school funding and policies in the state. If there are other education issues affecting schools in your area that you think need more attention, you can let us know. Email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us @CentralTimeWPR. Coming up, we'll learn about new legislation introduced in the U.S. Senate aimed at raising the federal age to buy tobacco products from 18 to 21 years. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network.